Daniel Lovitz, a defender for Nashville. Now we can say thank you for taking the time to join us this morning. Very much appreciated. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Daniel, it's been a little bit of a crazy year. Let's start off with, obviously, the trade that's sending you to Nashville. What were your thoughts? How did you react when it all came down?
It was crazy. I mean, you kind of have an idea in your head. You get the idea that something along those lines is in the works of happening. You never know exactly the timing of it or obviously the details of where it will be, but things kind of happened really quickly towards the end there. And, you know, it was as much exciting as it was stressful to see how things were unfolding. But after a few days and immediately thereafter, it was nice to kind of recalibrate and know what's going on and to have that next step kind of finalized and know what's going to happen.
Okay, let's talk about your tenure here with the Impact. You came via being let go by Toronto FC. You're invited to camp a few years back, and you make the team right out of camp, and you basically go from being released from Toronto FC to a starter in the MLS with the Montreal Impact, also winning Defender of the Year award, getting called up to the national team and starting on the national team, all that in about 3 years' time. What was in the water there in Montreal that made all this happen for you?
I don't know, to be honest. I want to say poutine, but I didn't eat enough of that for that to be the case. But no, I mean, it was just back 3 years ago, the thing was for me just trying to adjust to a new position and fill a depth role with the team that I wanted to help win some games in Montreal. And
yep,
I was really excited for the opportunity and humbled by it. And, you know, it was a good, exciting team to be a part of, and to watch how things sort of eclipsed from there was great. As for all the accolades and the things that came after, that was never my focus, obviously, but something that I was, you know, as surprised at and by, just like everyone else. And mm-hmm. It was kind of, you know, interesting to try to manage that and to just focus on what I was doing. And, you know, I think I did a decent job, but there were certainly times where I felt like there was a lot of stuff going on that I wasn't used to. And, mm-hmm. you know, managing it was certainly a task, but
right.
A good one and a good problem to have.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the next couple of minutes. But making the move and transitioning to fullback on the left side, in retrospect, was a good move for you, obviously?
Of course, yeah. I think it's pretty difficult to say otherwise. But, right. You know, for me, I think not having consistent minutes as a winger, which was my natural position, was difficult. And then kind of taking a step back and looking around the league and understanding how the league was changing, what the market's like for, you know, American wingers in the league, and that a lot of money was being spent in those positions, and it usually wasn't domestic players filling them. So I think, you know, I didn't recognize that right away. It was certainly a lot of years of frustration trying to get my foot in the door with them. But
right.
At the end of the day, I knew that there was, you know, an opportunity there and something that I thought that I could be good at. But of course, it's always another issue when you're worrying about playing time and you're just trying to find out where you fit in the team and just be grateful for your minutes. But I was really looking forward to, you know, having an opportunity to make one position mine and try to master it. And luckily, that's what I got in Montreal.
You played for three head coaches here, Mauro Biello, Remy Gard, and Wilmer Cabrera. Which one would you say was the best for you? Which one of those coaches allowed you to, express yourself the way you wanted and you had most pleasure working for?
I mean, for me, it's hard to, you know, compare the three of them stylistically and, you know, but for me, it's kind of easy to look back and know the relationship that I had with Mauro at the very beginning and
mm-hmm.
how special that was to me and have him be such a good guy and to bring me on board the way he did and welcome me in and give me, you know, in the beginning, a couple of different roles to try to execute to help the team. And then when mm-hmm. the time came, he was, you know, very trusting in me and allowed me to do what I needed to do and to help the team. So that's, you know, that particular phase of my time in Montreal will always be special to me. Of course, with Remy there and his staff that he brought, it was nice to get a full year under my belt as a starter and to work with them. It was an honor. And then with Wilmer, you know, things are, you know, a little bit difficult given the context of, you know, him coming in and not having a ton of time to work with the team, but needing right. to get results. I really give him a ton of credit for being straightforward with everybody, and especially me. I really valued the time that we spent together. And, you know, it's just a shame to be a player and to see him let go shortly after the season, and to feel like you had a little bit more to do to maybe help a guy keep his job. But that's the nature of the business, and, you know, it's a team sport, and everyone tries to do the best they can. And, you know, that was my experience across the three coaches.
Was there, you played a little bit less at the end of the year. Was there an injury there? Was this something we didn't know? Was there a deal with the national team that maybe you would be rested since, you know, the impact was not in a playoff position or anything like that? Or was it just, you know, that's the way it landed?
I think a little bit that's the way it landed. I wasn't, you know, privy to anything else going on. I know that I didn't play the final game of the year.
Right.
That was something communicated to me from the coach and the staff, and, you know, I didn't get much information surrounding it. You know, I voiced my opinion, you know, pretty clearly about wanting to play regardless of whether it made a ton of sense to risk an injury. I didn't really care about that. I wanted to play.
Right.
If I were to feature with the national team, I'd much rather do it coming off 90 minutes than to have a week's rest, so to speak, under my belt. I didn't really see any point in that, but. Again, you know, that's decisions that were made. You know, I feel good about just the fact that I was clear about what I wanted to do, but
right.
I also respect the decision that was made, and, you know, we move forward.
You talked earlier about some of the things that were you were not used to or were a little bit more complicated. You talked about the fact, I remember, that you said the league doesn't really treat Montreal the way they treat other teams, or something along those lines. I don't want to put words into your mouth, but what were the challenges that you had as an American player being here in Montreal? You know, you just talked about Morrow being quote-unquote a North American guy, which you got along better with, we could say. Well, what were the challenges for you playing here?
You know, I think it's, you know, first of all, calling a spade, I don't think that, you know, a lot of American players would look at Montreal and say that that's, you know, at the top of their list of places they want to be.
Right.
For a while, I was one of them. I'm, you know, an American guy. I didn't know much about Canada at all before I was drafted by Toronto. And to know that there's a, you know, a city pretty close by that speaks a different language and the culture is very different is, you know, exciting, but you don't know much about it. And
right.
I know a lot of American guys, you know, not that they don't get the chance, but they don't understand the idea of really throwing yourself into the culture and trying to, you know, connect with the fan base and the market on a personal level. And maybe for that reason, that piece being missing, that, you know, a lot of Americans have come and gone. And, you know, in that breath, you look at somebody like Evan Bush that's been able to create the career that he has in Montreal. And,
yeah.
You know, people take it for granted and people don't understand the type of person and the type of professional that he's been and how, you know, dedicated he is to the team and to
yes.
the club and to the city. And it's a tough task. I mean, you have a lot of foreign guys that come and play in teams in MLS and they have trouble identifying with the market and the club and the city. And, you know, for Americans, sometimes Montreal could look a little bit like that, but for a guy like Evan, he, to his credit, you know, has been there and done the job for a multitude of years. And, you know, now he's, you know, happy to be in a secure situation and looking forward to being a part of the team as they transition in the next year and what everyone's hoping is going to be a very exciting time.
Is it fair to say that you were sort of looking forward to going back to playing in an American team now that you're on the national team and everything, maybe, you know, grab a little bit more of the spotlight or just find a place where you can share a little bit more with guys, with more American players? Because on this team, like, as you mentioned, I think Evan is the last guy left. But was
yeah.
that something you were thinking about?
I think it's certainly fair to say that.
Yeah.
think. You know, being an American in a different market, you're always going to look over and think that the grass is greener. And I think players do that all the time, regardless of the context of the club that they're at. But you always think that things might be a little bit better somewhere else. But at the end of the day, the job is to play for a team that, you know, hopefully you end up on a team that has a passionate fan base. And in that respect, I couldn't have really asked for much more in terms of what Montreal was giving us. In terms of a home atmosphere every week, it was an honor to play there and to have the fans really be a part of the fabric of the culture and the atmosphere on game days. So that was incredible. But, you know, it was definitely a stark contrast for me. I remember joking around with some people about, you know, going from Montreal and, you know, having that context and that sort of locker room atmosphere to going to the U.S. national team.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're surrounded by Americans.
Right.
So, it was comparing apples to oranges a bit, but it was certainly something that I noticed. And you know, you're always going to enjoy time spent with people that are, you know, from similar backgrounds,
yep.
and everyone kind of gets along. But you know, that wasn't hard to come by in Montreal. We had a ton of good people, especially from all over the place, that had different ties, different methods of getting to the team, whatever that may have been, whether it was Bologna or somebody that was signed from South America. But everybody showed up and really worked hard together, and that was something that I really valued and how diverse it was. So
it's
good in their own way, but
it seemed as though a year ago there was something in place where there was a possibility for you to stay long term with the Impact. What changed at that moment? Is it because you were called up by the American national team, or was there something else that happened that you said to yourself, maybe it's time for me to, you know, play this last season out and see if I can move? Why that change?
I think it was pretty straightforward to me, and although it's kind of a tough sell to explain to other people, I know that I never really quite got through to Remy and his staff and some of the people that were at the club that this was really the case for me. But I can honestly say that, you know, I don't devote a ton of time and energy into thinking about contracts.
Mm-hmm.
In the off season going into last year, I really was looking forward to getting something done, and we were pretty close to crossing that line. And then, you know, an extended period of time went by. You know, obviously I was called into the national team, was able to spend some time with them. But my mind kind of flipped very quickly into being in a work environment where I'm asked to perform at the highest level every day and not really wanting to focus on anything contract related. Knowing that I did have another year on my contract, I wasn't in a pressing need to get anything done. Not really being totally focused or worried about compensation, but knowing that that was something that was important to me. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, I was just really moving forward towards starting the new year, trying to make sure, number one, that the team made the playoffs and was competitive, and wanted to make that my focus. And at the time when it came down to it, it felt like I was putting myself first, and you know, I wanted to really just focus on my play and talking to certain guys around the league and just in general, knowing that, you know, in pro sports it's never good to be having a lot of contract deals and negotiations underway and, you know, while
right.
the season's going on. So as soon as we got close to that, I kind of felt like it was time to back off from that and maybe reapproach it in the summer, but to really put my head down and focus on, you know, translating a great month and a half with the national team into the start of the season with Montreal.
Was there a little bit of a disappointment not being able to play alongside Thierry Henry, or not alongside, but for him when the trade was made?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, everyone, you know, you find me a player that would say that they wouldn't want that experience, I'd say that they're a liar. But, you know, it's one of those things, you know. It's a game of musical chairs, who's in charge. When you're there, I would have also loved to play with Drogba. I heard so many great things about him when
right.
he was with the team. But, you know, it's just crazy. It's amazing to see that that's what MLS has turned into, and to really have a chance and the opportunity to brush shoulders and spend some real quality time with players of that stature is pretty incredible.
Right.
And then, you know, in the same breath, you get exposed to guys like Rod Fanny. And that's somebody that I, you know, will admit I didn't know a ton about before he showed up in Montreal. And
right.
he was one of the best people I ever met in my life. Somebody that I, you know, would always pick on my team first if I ever had a chance. And he was a guy that I always liked having next to me when I was on the field. So,
right.
It's just crazy. It's just crazy. It's a whirlwind. And of course the timing isn't always perfect. And I would have loved to, you know, experience Thierry for a bit and, you know, hopefully, you know, been a guy that he would have liked, and that would have been a vote of confidence. But at the same time, it's the nature of the business.
And, right.
you know, I look forward to seeing how things go, and you know, I look forward to playing against him and seeing what the style is like. It'll be fun.
Your situation was a little bit tough because you're going into a year where you know you don't have a contract for the next year, but you cannot pick up and leave because of the,
right.
the way the collective bargaining agreement is made. And now we're going into a winter where there will be negotiations. What can you take from the experience you lived this year and not having that flexibility at the end of the year, and, you know, giving your opinion towards the Players Association in terms of what they can do to make sure that situations like this don't happen as much, or at least that players can have access to some sort of free agency, you know, before they have to play. I think it's 8 full seasons in the MLS.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. Everyone knows it. But, you know, luckily I am a bargaining committee member, and I had the pleasure of representing Montreal for my 3 years. And,
yeah.
You know, it's something that, you know, goes without saying that we're working on. We're trying to make sure that this status quo and these logistics and how players are, you know, treated in certain situations such as mine, it just that the conditions improve. And
right.
To be realistic, the league is young. It's coming into its 25th year. We look around and we know that there was an incremental process by which other major leagues and major sports were improving their players' rights and the conditions of the league. And it's a process, but, you know, having been here after my rookie year, we entered into the last round of CBA negotiations where we made the last deal. There's just a lot of guys and a lot of discontentment around the league with
yeah.
guys that were there and were in the rooms and understand that the deal that was taken wasn't, you know, something that we wanted to write home about or hang our hat on.
Right.
Of course, it represented progress, but I think this time around we've, you know, been great about organizing and educating everybody. And it's, you know, just a really powerful thing to have guys like Nacho Piatti coming up and asking you questions about the league and about the players. I think that speaks a lot to what's different this time around. And I think it's going to empower us as we enter these negotiations and things get down to crunch time. But from a personal standpoint, yeah, it's pretty tough to try to explain to people that, you know, I'm out of contract, but, you know,
yeah.
Montreal is still in the driver's seat in terms of what happens to me, which,
yep.
you know, didn't really cause me much lack of sleep, but it was just something that is an odd dynamic to try to work through mentally
yeah,
and especially
sure.
explain to somebody on the outside.
Yeah, yeah. Clément Diop is in that same type of situation. Gut feeling for, you know, CBA talks? Are we looking into, you know, possibly a delay of the start to the year, a work stoppage or anything like that? Or are you confident that both sides will be able to come to an agreement?
I mean, I can only speak confidently on my side of the deal, and that being with the players, I think we're totally all on the same page about what we want to accomplish and what things we'd like to see change and the extent to which we'd like to have those changes realized in the form of the new CBA, and we're prepared to do whatever's necessary, but, you know, it's comforting to know that we are being met by a party across the table that is seemingly interested in making something happen, but you know, that could all be posturing, and when it comes down to it, we'll really find out what each group is holding, and, you know, for us, it's just about sticking to what we believe and making sure everyone's on the same page, and that's been relatively easy so far, so we're excited for it.
Daniel, we didn't get a chance to talk to you at the end of the year. You were already gone with the national team, so I'd like to extend, obviously, our best wishes for good luck with the future of your career in Nashville, and also like to thank you in the name of all the members of the media, because you've always been very accessible, given us a lot of time to explain things. So thank you for that. Thanks for your tenure here in Montreal, and we can only wish you the best, and we already are looking forward to seeing you back in Montreal for a future game between Nashville and the Impact.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate it. It means a lot. You made it easy for me, and, you know, I always cherish my time in Montreal and look forward to seeing you too.
Thank you, Daniel, and obviously happy holidays to you and your family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Same to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good. Take care. Bye-bye.